the bridegroom. We are on the verge of the rapture. The rapture is when the bridegroom comes to get the bride. We say rapture, but sometimes we don't say it in terminology that the people who don't know the Bible would understand. We're talking about the bridegroom, who is Jesus Christ, coming to get the bride, which is the sanctified company of God's church. He's not coming to get everybody that's saved. He's not coming to get everybody that claims to be saved. He's not coming after the whole church world. He's coming after a bride that has made herself ready. A bride that is clothed in the bride in attire. A bride that has forsaken the world, turned their back on worldliness, turned their back on carnal living, and have become devoted, utterly devoted to Jesus Christ. He's coming for his bride. You've got a world full of people out there that will try to tell you, I'm ready for the rapture. They don't understand what the rapture really means. You're talking about the bridegroom coming to get his bride. Without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, or any such thing, according to Ephesians chapter 5. He's coming for a bride that has purified herself, men and women, boys and girls, even little children. Children of saved mothers and daddies will go. Children of unsaved mothers and daddies will not go. I mean, that's something the world doesn't grasp easily, but it's certainly a truth that's so relevant in the scripture. So we're talking tonight about the bridegroom coming to get the bride. Now, listen to me. Look at me. How many are excited about the possibility of that occurring? Could I see your hand? How many of you are excited about the bridegroom coming to get the bride? Now, I'm not in no hurry. I'm getting started early. And I want to preach this truth because there is a desperate world out there. And I'm going to put this probably up on the internet tomorrow because there is a world and they're beginning to listen to us. That lady this morning and her family, the man and his wife last week, others, we get calls all the time now, all the time. We have a man in California, goes to a very, very non-Pentecostal church, but he's such a dear man. He sent $1,000 to our radio ministry this week, and then he added $250 for Brother and Sister Chambers. Now, I don't take money that people send normally, but my wife has been working here over 3 years in the school without one single payday. And so I gave her that $250. I said, honey, I think you deserve this. And she took it. You know how ladies are. I'm kidding. She's never been one greedy at all. But I was just proud to give it to her. Well, let's go to start this message tonight on the bridegroom to chapter 14 of St. John. Chapter 14. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully because I'm going to say some things tonight you probably have never heard me say. And they are breathtaking. You'll want to listen to this sermon again, I guarantee you, in the next days because it's going to be that kind of a sermon. All right, St. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is saying this now and is getting their attention. Trying to get them to listen to him. He said, you believe in the Father. These are Jews he's talking to. They knew God was their Father. They knew that God was one. Although they didn't understand the Trinity, they were beginning to understand it a little bit. Not completely yet, even at this time. And so he says to them, you believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, the many mansions are already there. It is a place of many mansions, but there's an additional place, he said. I go to prepare for you. Are you listening? I go to prepare for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, there's more in that text than we've normally heard through the years. And I want to try to get to a little bit of it tonight. And I want you to listen. Let me read that last verse again. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Father, help this your servant, unworthy, absolutely insufficient to preach as I desire to preach, and depending only upon the Holy Ghost. Let me speak as the oracles of God. Let me minister as of the ability that you give me. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. And you can be seated. You may be seated. Now, this is a picture of Jesus telling his disciples that he was going to leave them, and he was going to prepare a place for them, and that when he went and prepared that place for them, he would then return to get them. He was putting himself in a position of the bridegroom here. He was putting himself in a position of the bridegroom. He was going to pay the price for their redemption. And once that price was paid, he was going back to the Father's house. And he was just not just going to the Father's house. He was going to prepare a place for his bride. He was going to prepare a place for those he would return to get. Now, this city had never been prepared for one reason. Because it was a redemptive city. It was a city of redemption. A city of redemption for a specific people whom his blood on that cross would redeem. And he had to die on the cross and resurrect before he could create the redemptive city. The redemptive city didn't exist before this moment. It was not then up there in heaven. It was now yet unprepared and uncreated. And so Jesus is saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to create a city that will be a redemptive city for the people whom I'm coming back to get. Now, that's really exciting to me, because I'm part of that crowd whom his blood has redeemed. I'm part of that crowd who belongs to him. And so to realize that Jesus made all of this special effort for the bride, it shows the activity and the plan of the bridegroom. He is planning for his bride. He is looking forward for his bride. They are a redeemed people who've been washed in his blood and sanctified from the world and are holy in their new nature of Jesus Christ. And he's going to show them his love by preparing a special place just for them. Now, you've got people all over the world. They'll try to tell you that everybody that's saved is going to live in the city of New Jerusalem. And I'm here to tell you that cannot be so. That is not biblical. It is far from being biblical. The city of New Jerusalem is this city that Jesus was talking about, that he was going to go and prepare. And he was going to prepare it as a redemptive city. Could I tell you that the devil has been all over God's created universe? The devil has even had the right to appear before the throne of God and debate you and debate your love for him and accuse you to God. Oh, the Bible makes that plain. Oh, the devil has been before the throne of God. He's walked up and down in the gardens of Eden. He's walked up and down among the cherubs and the mighty and beautiful angels. He's absolutely acted within the sphere of his capacity before he fell in all kinds of ways. And even now, as a fallen angel, he still has access to the throne of God. But listen to me. He's never walked the streets of New Jerusalem. He's never been in that city of New Jerusalem. He's never walked through those pearly gates that are all about and around that city, four square of existence. He's never looked upon that new throne that God the Father will sit on in the city of New Jerusalem. He's never walked up to the 12th floor, the 12th level of that great city and inspected it. He doesn't know the beauty of it. He's never been there. He's never touched it. Not one of his angels have been there. That's the city of the redeemed. That's the city that nobody can walk the streets but the blood-washed crowd. Hallelujah. That's the city, hallelujah, excuse me, that we will spend eternity enjoying. Anybody listening to me? What a city. And Jesus said, I'm going to prepare that city for you. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Chambers, is it ready? It sure is, because John saw it later in the Bible. Hallelujah. And told of its dimension, and told of its magnificence, and told of its beauty. So the first thing we see in the Bible about the bridegroom is he getting ready to die on the cross, getting ready to be crucified, getting ready to be resurrected, getting ready for all the beauty that was in front of him. Getting ready. You know, the Bible says, and I love this verse, it's in Hebrews 12. It says, who for the joy that was set before him, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God above. Did you know that Jesus had in his mind envisioned that city? And that's one of the things that on the cross he was so joyous about. He was dying. He was being crucified. He was going to the ultimate extreme as your sacrifice, because that city had to be created. It had to be created with redemptive capacity. It had to be created after the Savior had died on a cross and had resurrected with a brand new body. Hey, man, are you listening to me? Somebody raise your hand if you think maybe I'm saying the right thing. Could I see it way up there? Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. The world don't know anything about this. The world don't even understand this. But I'm telling you, it's real. There's a city. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. You, look around you at anybody that's a saint of God and say to them, you, Sister Chambers, you, Sister Judy, you, Sister Lucille, Brother Buck, you, Brother Ken, all of you, if you're saved and sanctified. Now, you say, Brother Chambers, I'm saved, but I'm still living a little careless and a little worldly. You better get that worldliness out of you. You better get that carelessness out of you. You better get yourself sanctified and set apart. You better get yourself walking and living in a holy realm and a godly, God-fearing realm, serving him and doing his will. Because I'm here to tell you, he's prepared a city for you. And in his heart, he wants you to be there. Sister Yvette, that's why he's been moving in your life, the life of your children, getting you ready. I'm not suggesting you're not ready. God knows you certainly appear to me to have made an utter abandonment to him. And if you've made an utter abandonment to him and you're living a set apart life, he's getting you ready, because he's building a city for you. Oh, he has built a city for you. Excuse me. He has created a city for you. It is so magnificent that John the Revelator told the vision of it. And it still is just not received by the multitudes, because they cannot comprehend such a marvelous thing as Jesus going back to heaven and preparing the city of New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Well, there it is. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Can you imagine now? Over 1900 years since nearly 2,000 years since Jesus made this statement. Almost 2,000 years. Somewhere within about 15 years of being 2,000 years since he made this statement. That city has been created, and now up there somewhere in the blessed heavens, it just gleams in the light of God's glory and God's majesty. Hallelujah. Just waiting. You say 2,000 years, that's a long time to wait. 1,000 years is as one day with the Lord, the Bible said. It's been 2 days since he was crucified. Hallelujah. In the sense of heaven. Oh, what a day that's going to be. So we understand there, this city is a city of the redeemed. And Jesus, crucified, resurrected, ascended to heaven to create that beautiful city. Now go over. We'll be moving to two or three places. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. I want us to look at this city a minute before we go back and get to the bridegroom. The bridegroom, see, made this city. He created this city. I say made it. That's probably not the best word. He created this city. He spoke it into existence. All he had to do was say, let there be, and there was. He makes things out of nothing. Did you know that? He makes things out of nothing. Down here, a little gold and a few pearls and some jewels is so rare, and some people will die for them. They'll give their soul just to have a little jewel. They'll give their soul just to have a little bit of these riches. Let me tell you, he spoke them into existence, and the magnificence of them is beyond my description. I wish I had the words. There are preachers in the world who have such vocabulary and such use of language and such use of marvelous words that they could put a picture on this that Brother Chambers maybe don't have the capacity to, but that's all right. I'll tell you one thing, it's magnificent. I can tell you one thing, your mind never has grasped how great it is. And I'm here to tell you, if you miss it, you have missed the grandest opportunity of human history. There is nothing in the understanding of mankind. There is nothing you can desire. There is nothing you can acquire. There's no greatness you can achieve. There's no level of magnificence you can climb to that matches just the beautiful glory of being ready to spend eternity in this city of God's divine making and created just for you. Hallelujah. Somebody help me preach, will you? Glory to God. Revelation 22 and verse 2, I'm sorry. And I, John, saw the holy city. Hallelujah. And I, John, saw the holy city. Can you see the exclamation in John's language here? Can you hear the thrill that passes through his mind? Can you feel the emotion that John was feeling when he stood there and saw it? He didn't just read about it. It wasn't given to him in just descriptive words. He looked at it. He looked upon it in the spirit, still in the natural. He looked upon the city in a vision. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. It's coming down. He saw it. You see, this is Revelation. This is prophetic. This is futuristic. John's seeing it like we're going to see it. John is seeing it in its day of revelation. And so he sees it as it is coming down. Now, it wasn't yet coming down. He's seeing a vision of the future. And the future is of the city coming down. And so John is describing it in futuristic terms. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Coming down from God out of heaven. All prepared. Now notice this. Prepared. Prepared. That means he created it and prepared it for a purpose. He prepared it. That word prepared makes it plain that it didn't exist before it was prepared. It didn't exist before it was created. It was not something that's been there for all eternity. It wasn't there from the foundation of the world. It wasn't there before the foundation of the world. Jesus says he was with the Father and had this grand glory before the foundation of the world. But this city wasn't there. This city was created. It was prepared. God had a purpose. The Lord Jesus had a purpose. All of this was planned. All of this was redemptive. All of this was getting ready something for you and I on that glorious and blessed day, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now listen, you got to hear this. The city is not the bride. Now, some people who preach that. The city is prepared as a place for the bride so that the city and the bride kind of cling together. They kind of exist together. The city is our city for the bride and is prepared for the bridegroom. So that when the bridegroom comes to this city, he comes to where his bride exists and inhabits every mansion on 12 levels. Hallelujah. And all the magnificence of the city is just part of this spotless, clean bride. And you say, why do you preach holiness? Why do you preach holiness? Why do you preach godliness? Why do you tell people they can't go up in the rapture if they live like the world and for the world and live unsanctified lives? I do it because this bride, that is the raptured crowd. See, that's the crowd that's going to be part of the bride, the crowd that's going to be part of the rapture. Hallelujah. So when you go up in that rapture, you go up as part of that bride, and you're going to walk the streets of that city. How quickly will we get the city? I actually believe as at the rapture, the city becomes our possession. I think the wedding supper is some great hall in that great city of New Jerusalem, prepared as a place where we will crown Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords and declare him our bridegroom forever. And he will look at us and declare us his bride forever. And we'll be joined together in a holy union. Hallelujah. I said something Sunday night 2 weeks ago, don't remember when, that when we get to heaven, we will instinctively and immediately and instantly know every saint of God that's there. When you see Peter, you won't say, is that Peter? You'll know that's Peter. When you see Abraham, you won't ask somebody, is that Father Abraham? You'll look over there and you will say, that's Father Abraham. Hallelujah. When they see any one of us, when we see any one of them, when we see those great saints of God that made up the Anabaptists of hundreds of years ago, we see those Waldensians that gave themselves to holiness. We see those groups all through the centuries of the church that came out of the world, that came out of Catholicism and backslidden churches and became the bride of Christ. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to be part of that crowd and we're going to know each other. Amen. Hallelujah. It's prepared as a bride, for the bridegroom. That's the whole purpose. And we'll be there. The city without us is still just a beautiful, empty place. Beautiful, but empty. Just waiting the glory of a spotless crowd of sainted saints. Hallelujah. Sainted saints. If you don't love holiness, you aren't a candidate for that city. You won't only live holiness because somebody makes you. You'll live holiness because you fell in love with it. You'll live holiness because it's become your first nature. Oh, I almost said second nature. That was your bad. I want to tell you something right now. It'll be your first nature. Everything else will be secondary in your life. If you're ready for that brideship, you're ready to be part of that crowd. Hallelujah. He looked and said, I saw that new Jerusalem coming down, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Who is the husband? The bridegroom. Can you imagine the family that we're going to be part of? All I got to do is get with a few of our saints that are part of the Bible Holiness Ministerial Fellowship. You know, Brother Switzer was preaching down the camp meeting at Blatenburg this week, and I was told after I arrived that he got up one night and told about the fellowship of the Bible Holiness Ministerial Fellowship. He said, I found a group of people, and I've become part of them. He said, when we preach at those meetings that they have, there's no contest to preachers. Nobody's trying to outdo somebody else. Nobody's in a contest. They just come together. And he was talking about this fellowship, that he's become a part of us. And it thrilled me to know that he sees us in that light. And we're a long ways from perfect, believe me. We need to be a lot stronger, a lot more devoted, and a lot purer, and a lot more dedicated to the Bible, and a lot greater committed to prayer and fasting. But God's helping us, and we're moving in that direction. But God's got a bride, and I got to be part of that bride. Hallelujah. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Don't give me what the world's got. Don't give me their exclaim. Don't give me their praise. Don't give me all of their acclamation. Don't give me all of their money. Don't give me their wealth. Just give me a holy heart ready to ascend up to meet the King in the sky. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not even going to get to what I'm preaching about, but I'm going to be careful. And God shall wipe away all tears. Well, let me read verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now, this really upset people some time ago when we started talking about the bride. And we start talking about those who are going to live in the city. There's going to be multitudes of saints that don't get to live in the city. They will live in the nations of the earth. The Bible speaks of them, saved, living in the nations of the earth. And they'll be invited to come and visit the city. They'll be invited to come and visit the saints in the city who are the bride. And the bride will have an identification that the rest of the world will not have. The bride will be honored everywhere in God's great new heaven and new earth where they may go. Because they are a special crowd of people. They paid the ultimate. They gave the totality. They didn't have any hesitancy. It was all on the altar, crucified, given, and dedicated. Oh, what a picture this is. So, we have the king who went to Calvary's cross, said, I'm going to heaven and prepare a place for you. We have John who's seen the place, seen the city, seen the magnificence of it. Seen the glory of it. Now, let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 25. Book of Matthew, chapter 25. Let me give you a little picture of this glorious day. Now, this is, I'm not giving something in chronological order as far as the Bible is concerned, but it's chronological order as far as how it will end up is concerned. And here we are in Matthew 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet who? The bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Now, this picture is pretty clear. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. He prepared the place. John saw the place and told us the beauty of it. Now, we see, is it yet in the future? It's yet before us. The bridegroom's coming. We don't know when. He don't want you to know when. Because he wants you to live every day ready for him to come. If you're not ready right now, you probably won't be when he comes. Because you're already playing games, being religious, and not doing what you know is right. You're already too busy with the world, too busy with things that you're doing. And so you're not ready. Well, listen to me. He's coming suddenly. Midnight. Now, you know when you say midnight, it doesn't mean midnight, 12 o'clock, because there's 24 different times of day around the world. And when it's midnight here, it's 12 o'clock noon somewhere else or some other time within the 24th sphere. So he's talking about the suddenness of it. He's talking about the fact that it comes when men are not looking. He's talking about him coming when the people are so busy in their busy world and they're not aware of it. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's preaching about. That's what he's telling us about. But listen, at midnight the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him. Go you out to meet him. What a day. What a day. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. The foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They barely had enough oil to exist. They're just hanging on. They're just, you know, they're pew warmers. They are lazy saints. They're careless Christians. They're religious but not devoted. They're religious but not dedicated. They do things that they know doesn't look right. They do things that they have to repent of on a regular basis. They're just always kind of playing around games, half coming to church, half committed to the house of God, half committed to whatever they are doing for Christ. Not ready. 10 foolish virgins with no oil in their reserve. Maybe a little oil. You see, you can't say these folks aren't saved. These folks are saved. These folks are virgins. These folks are probably pretty good church members. They probably pay, many of them pay their tithes. They do some things that are religious, but they don't have that reserve of oil that when the shadows are on the horizon, they can keep their hands up and keep on shouting. If you can't keep on shouting when things are going bad, you don't have oil in the reserve. If you can't keep on holding fast to your faith when the world's coming at you like a storm at midnight, then you're not ready. You're one of those lazy virgins, those foolish virgins. The virgins, the real virgins, have got oil, and they can shout when it's dark. They can shout when there's no piano playing. They can shout when it's a little bit gloomy outside. They can shout when they feel a bit discouraged, because they got oil in their lamp. Hallelujah. And oil in their vessel. Somebody help me, would you? Throw your hand up and tell him I love him. I got to be ready. How about standing and just waving your hand and worshiping him and say, I got to be ready. I got to be ready. I got to be ready. Would you praise him? Would you honor him? Would you love him? Standing, everybody that really intends to be ready, I want you on your feet. Hallelujah. Praising him and magnifying him and honoring him, for he is worthy. I said he is worthy. Hallelujah. I'm surrendered. I'm committed. I'm going to live a godly life. Don't paint me up like the world. Don't put the world on my back. Don't put the world in my clothing. Don't put the world in my talk. I belong to him. I'm ready to go. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it looks like a pretty good crowd when you're standing. I think I'll just keep you standing. No, that's all right. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Hallelujah. So there it is. Five, you may be seated. Five foolish virgins and five wise virgins. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go and listen. You better listen. Go ye out to meet him. See, he's not going to wake you up to take you with him. Are you listening to me? This crowd's so ready that the very whisper of it being him coming, just a little tune in the distance, a little ring in the sky, a little sense of something impending, and they're on their feet running for the door. Is this the bridegroom coming? Hallelujah. Is this the, you know what? I think we need to start having that kind of excitement, that we just always looking for the bridegroom to come. Hallelujah. Get up in the morning and go throw the door open and look out. Yeah, is the bridegroom coming today? Hallelujah. He's coming for the saints. Did you know that? The bridegroom is coming for the saints. All right. Let's go to Psalms division 45. 8 verses 1 through 8 is a pictorial picture of the bridegroom. A pictorial, a word picture of the bridegroom. The one who's coming to get us. Or you say, why didn't the psalmist David write that way back, you know, 3,000-4,000 years ago? Because he wrote prophetically. Because he was writing by the Holy Ghost and describing future things. He was talking about the very future that we're looking for in this whole chapter of 45 Psalms. He was talking about the rapture. He was talking about the bridegroom. He was talking about the bride. When you get to verse 9, you'll have a beautiful picture of the bride. But first we have a picture of the bridegroom in 8 verses, and I'll preach them, and then we will conclude the message tonight. Psalms 45, 1, my heart is inditing a good matter. I would say, would you not say, my heart is inditing a good matter? My heart is inditing a good matter. I'm talking about something of grave importance, the psalmist David was saying. I'm fixing to tell you of something prophetically breathtaking, prophetically beautiful. And this is pictorial language. It is a language of a proverb kind of language. It is written kind of covered and clothed in the beauty of Holy Ghost anointing, so the world don't grasp this. When a worldling reads these verses, they'll say, what are you talking about, preacher? Are you crazy or something? No, I'm not, sir. No, I'm not, lady. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost said a long time ago. And I'm talking about the bridegroom who's preparing, hallelujah, to come get his bride. Woo! Somebody say hallelujah. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I like that. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Did you know that Jesus came in the volume of the Bible? The whole volume of the Bible. Everything in the Bible came. Jesus is in the center of all of it. And all of it speaks of him. And he came to fulfill every word of it. Every word of it. So my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. He is describing here the magnificence of this picture. He's trying to show us something about the bridegroom. He's trying to get us excited about our future. Can you imagine? Let me tell you something I want to preach. This is a little rabbit trail here. Let me tell you something I want to preach. I've been thinking about it all week. I want to preach about the journey from the moment of resurrection until a person is walking down streets of gold. I want to preach a sermon on the trip from here to there. That's what I want to preach. A trip from here to there. I want to preach about the whole glory of the moment that trumpet sounds. Here lays a dead body down buried in the ground, and it's been there so long, there's nothing left but a little dust. And all of those dust pieces begin to sing. The Bible says they're going to sing. And as they begin to sing, they begin to materialize. And they begin to develop. And they begin to resemble something of the person who was buried there. Some great saint of God in the past. And all of a sudden, you can see a little of the bones. Then you can see a little of the muscle. Then you can see a little of the skin. And before you know it, you can see a little of the face. And this all happens instantaneously, but I'm describing it. And all of a sudden, there is the full person who was buried there 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. And they're in the dust. They've turned to dust. But now the dust is turning back to flesh and blood. And flesh and bones. And as it turns back to flesh and bones, it begins to take on resemblance, and you see the eyebrows, and you see the eyes and the color, you see the hair on the head, you see everything, and suddenly, hallelujah, the spirit of life comes in to that body that's laying there materializing and coming back to a beautiful form, and then the body begins to be animated. Woo! Hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you with me, church of God, saints of God? Are you with me, God's saints? I'm telling you, that's about to happen. I don't see how in the world you're just sitting there looking at me. Do you understand that when this takes place all over this earth, there's going to be places where saints have been buried, and they're going to start coming out of those graves, leaving holes, and people are going to begin to stumble and fall in some of them, where some old saint of God has been resurrected. And I'm going to tell you something. Those saints of God, there's an anointing in those graves. You remember when they buried Elisha and put him in a tomb, and there was an army coming marching through, and he was in one of those tombs, one of those graves, and a soldier got shot and wounded with a sword and killed, and they threw him into the grave where Elisha's body was, and the man resurrected because of the Holy Ghost in that tomb, in those bodies. I want to tell you something. God's got saints all over this universe. There's so much Holy Ghost buried in this earth right now. Holy Ghost everywhere. All these saints of God, there's a spirit of the Lord. And when they begin to resurrect, hallelujah, and then they begin to come out of those graves, and if anybody is standing by, now you talk about the shock of their life when they see those men and women coming up out of the earth. See, it's going to be all over the 24-hour span, and there'll be people visiting their graveyard to put flowers on some past person whom they loved, and all of a sudden they'll look over there and there'll be a grave opening up. You can tell I'm on a rabbit trail, but it sure is a joy to preach. Hallelujah. Oh, saints of God, listen to me. That resurrection is right in front of us. That resurrection is about to happen. Let's go back here now. Verse 2, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. That's the bridegroom. Thou art fairer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. He's talking about the bridegroom. He's talking about the magnificence of his person. He's talking about the beauty of his resurrection glory when he came out of that tomb, hallelujah, with a glorified body, never to die again, hallelujah. And resurrection began to take place all over Jerusalem. What a beauty. You know, one man, a soldier was sent to arrest Jesus. And he went to arrest him. And he got there, Jesus was preaching. He listened a little bit, turned around, went back to his superiors, and they said, "Where's Jesus? You're supposed to arrest him." He said, "Never man spake like that man." Never a man spake like that man. Oh, it says grace is poured from thy lips. Isn't that beautiful? Grace is poured from thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. Now, gird thy sword upon thy thigh. Are you listening? Are you reading what he's saying? O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. The first time he came born of a virgin. He walked among the wicked. He walked among those who didn't even recognize him. He was a wonderful person, but he didn't come in some kind of mighty armor. He didn't come with a sword on his side. He didn't come speaking words that were creating things around him that were not necessary. He came in the humility of dying, of bleeding, of giving up himself for us. But when he comes back the next time, he comes as a victorious prince, our prince, our king. He comes in triumph and glory and majesty. When he comes back, I promise you, he will come back. Almighty, will they say, the one of glory and majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. The triumph of him coming is the most beautiful thing you can imagine. Can you imagine a sudden sound in the heavens? And you recognize that sound has got to be something unique. I never heard a sound like that before. And suddenly you realize the king is coming. And you look up and there he is in the horizon above. Glorious and triumphant and victorious. And you can see he is utterly and totally triumphant. He is utterly and totally victoriously. And suddenly you realize he's come to redeem his saints. He's come together his wonderful people. He's come together the bride. Hallelujah. Woo, glory, glory, glory. Wonderful. Then verse 7:5. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. See, when it comes this first time, to rapture the saints, there will be a multitude of people who thought they were ready to go. They knew the Bible, they could quote the scripture, but they didn't know the Lord, they didn't know the King, they didn't know the Master. And so judgment begins to be plain to people, and people begin to collapse in fear and in apprehension. Can you imagine the multitude that will faint when they realize they've missed the rapture and they begin to anticipate a world of 7 years and an antichrist? They begin to anticipate what they're facing. They've heard preachers preach. They've read a little bit of the Bible and they begin to realize, I've missed the grandest event, and it will be absolutely a time when God has to judge between those ready and those not ready. Now here's a scripture that you find again in Hebrews. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. See, that's spoken of in Hebrews, speaking specifically of Jesus. That's why we know this scripture is of the bridegroom, is because here he's identifying it as being the bridegroom. He's making it plain in this verse of scripture that the whole conversation here is about the one who won the victory by the cross, who won the victory over the tomb, who won the victory over death, hell, and the grave down in the bottomless, down in the upper Sheol. We know this is the one who is victorious in every sense of the word. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. See, all of that speaks of what we know in the New Testament. where it says that when Jesus arrived back in heaven, the Father exalted him above every name of every person that's ever existed on the face of this earth, including the angels in heaven. Hallelujah. He has a name above all names. Hallelujah. He's the bridegroom. That's why he has a name above all names. He's the magnificent one. He's the breathtaking one. If you should see him this night in your physical frame, physical and human frame, you would fall to the dust of the earth. It would smite you to the very core of your being, and he would have to raise you up and let you stand. That happened to John in Revelation 1. It would happen to us maybe even more so. I want to tell you something. He's coming. The bridegroom is so glorious until words do not describe him. The bridegroom is so wonderful that to speak of him is almost like closed language, and you just don't know all you want to say. I'm here to tell you, he is glorious. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. Now notice, all thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. I've heard preachers preach this, and they were, you know, their language was so above my language, and they were so capable in the use of the English language was a glorious thing with them. And they talk about this king coming. When the myrrh and the aloes and the cassia is so dominant and so strong that even as he descends into the heavens above, his aroma will spread around this universe. If you're somewhere busy, the aroma of his coming will be strong enough to alert you that something is happening. Hallelujah. So you can run to meet him and run to welcome him. Oh, what a day that's going to be. I'm here to tell you, he is out of the ivory palaces, it says. Where is he at right now? Among the ivory palaces. Oh, hallelujah. He sits at the Father's right hand. He's just awaiting the Father to say, it's time, son. Go get the bride. Hallelujah. It's all anticipated up there. I guarantee you, if you could visit heaven, you would hear the angels around the heavenly sphere, and especially those around the throne, and they would be talking probably with bated voices and saying, when is he going? When is he going to get the bride? When is that resurrection about to occur? And they are anticipating. See, some of those angels have probably cared for you. Some of those angels have probably cared for me. And they know I'm ready. They know I'm getting ready. They know I'm anxious and I'm excited and I'm going home when the time comes to go home. Woo! Hallelujah to God. So, the bridegroom, the most magnificent being of all human history. How can I describe him in closing? The most magnificent being in all of human history. He's been to Calvary. He's been through the 3 days and nights in the lower part of the earth. He's resurrected with a glorified body. The prints of the nails are there. It's evident who he is. He's glorified. John saw him in Revelation 1 and fell dead at his feet. He was so glorious and mighty. And he's coming. I don't know the moment, but I know he will step soon out of that heavenly sphere and descend down through the stratosphere, and suddenly we'll hear a great trumpet sound, and the dead will start rising out of their graves. And the saints of God will begin to feel this unction of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Getting them ready to meet him in the sky. Oh, when you look up and see him, he will be so breathtaking. Words don't describe. I don't know about you. I'm living for that. I could care less for anything this world's got anymore. The closer I get to him, the more I am repulsed by what I see and what I hear. The bridegroom is coming. The king is coming. Oh, I wish I had a pianist and somebody to sing for me, the king is coming. Hallelujah. I said the king is coming. Everybody who believes the king is coming, stand on your feet. Hallelujah. The king is coming. The king is coming. I said, the King is coming. I said, the King is coming. Hallelujah. When is he coming? Momentarily. I don't know the exact moment, but I know momentarily the King is coming. This sermon was poured on my heart yesterday, Friday, as I listened to Brother Joey. He taught for 4 days on the great marriage supper. And his closing text was Psalms division 45. Oh, it was beautiful to listen. I have done it little justice. But I want you to know something. That bridegroom has made all the preparations. There's nothing to be made. There's no fixing of the city of New Jerusalem. There's no doors that need to be rehung. There's no windows that are unclean. The tables are set. The chandeliers are lit. The food is in preparation. You say the food preparation? What if it's 10 years before we get there? That's all right. Things don't decay in heaven. Things don't get old in heaven. The grapes that are there on the table will be just as juicy and delicious when we get there as they are. Right now, I'm going to tell you, it's ready. Amen. There's one thing that's got to happen. The Father has got to look over at the Son and say, Son, go get the bride. Amen. That's all he's got to do. Son, go get the bride. And Jesus will say to Gabriel, blow that trumpet, Gabriel. And old Gabriel will put that trumpet to his lips. Step out on the horizon of the sky and blow a tune that will wake up the dead all the way back to thousands of years ago. And the graves will start shaking. Can you imagine? Yeah, I'm just a man of quite an imagination. But I can almost feel this old earth shaking when all those dead folks in the graves that are ready to go begin to assemble and get ready to come out of there. Can you imagine that, Marlon? Can you imagine? Can you imagine going down the highway and looking over at a graveyard as it begins to happen, and he's getting ready to resurrect you? But while the dead in Christ shall rise first, so there's a little moment there when you might see the dead coming out before he gets you, and look over there, and the graveyard is just kind of shaking like it's jumping up and down. The dead are getting ready to come out of that grave. Wow! And I'm gonna be one of the living, I hope. I don't know. I may have to go by no grave. I sure don't want to. I just want to go straight up. Meet him in the sky. Throw your hands up and let's love on him. Father, I love you tonight. I love you. Words don't even describe what I feel. I preach from the deep of my heart about the bridegroom. What a picture. What a beautiful, magnificent picture. What a day. What a day. What a glorious day. What a blessed day. The world needs to hear this, Father. It disturbs me greatly that I cannot preach to millions, but I can preach to thousands by the internet. And we will do our best to tell the story and warn them of how near it is, the moment of his coming, the moment of his appearing. What a day. What a day. Would you just wait on him a moment? Your hands up to him, loving on him, telling him how much you want to be ready. Repenting if you need to of any carelessness evident in your life. It is foolish not to be ready for this. It is foolish not to live a day. Foolish to live a moment without being ready for this. Oh, what an hour. He's coming. I said, saints, he is coming and we are leaving. And it's momentarily. It could be any minute. See, the Bible has taught us to teach the imminence of his coming. That means he'd come anytime. But I really want to go back to that graveyard where them saints began to assemble from the dust where their old bodies have decayed. That's going to be something. Come out of that grave. Hallelujah. Don't you imagine the saints as they ascend up to the sky will start communicating with one another? You know how talkative saints are? You know, you get a bunch of saints together and you can't hardly get them all to shut up and quit talking. You know how that is? It ain't bad. I'm talking about it in a good form. You get with people you hadn't seen in a few months, and man, you just can't always stand not to say, I love you. Man, it's so good to see you. And you're trying to worship, in the middle of a church service, and they walk in, and you run over and hug their neck and try to take a minute. Well, can you imagine going up through the sky, what you're going to be saying and doing with each other? If I can find old Marlon over there somewhere. Marlon, you made it. Hallelujah. What a day is going to be, church. Let's just love on him. Father, we just love you. That's all. We're just waiting on you. Even so, come. Even so, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're waiting on you. We really are, Lord. Tonight's okay with us. Tonight's okay with us. Oh, I know. There'd be a lot I love that wouldn't go. But hopefully, they'll endure the pain of the tribulation. Hopefully, they'll refuse to take the mark. Hopefully, they'll die martyrs. Get us ready, Lord. We're looking. Hallelujah. God bless you, church. I want us to do something kind of special. I want us just to pray for one another. How about just moving over the sanctuary and find you somebody to pray with, will you? I choose Brother Buck. I'm not going to let you have him. Find somebody to hold their hand. Everybody get somebody's hand. Families, join hands together. Join hands together. Join hands together. Find somebody's hand to hold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Buck, over here with me and Teresa. Hallelujah. And Tim. God's got you ready, Brother Tim. I'm excited. Hallelujah. Brother Buck, grab my arm and her hand. Father, we pray for one another. We pray for everyone in this building. Don't let nobody miss this, Lord. Don't let nobody miss this. Thank you for saving Tim. Oh, what a transformation you've made in his life. He's getting ready for that rapture. Thank you for my grandson, Andrew. Work your will in his life, Lord. I put him in your hands. Thank you for Teresa. Work your will in her life. God, draw her closer to you than she's ever known. And fill her mightily with a fresh baptism. Fill Brother Buck with a fresh Holy Ghost baptism. Get us all ready. The time is short. The coming of the Lord is imminent. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's go here and pray with Yvette and her family, Brother Buck. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray with two or three people. Don't just stop. Tell somebody you love them. Hallelujah. I got her hand. You're going to have to get Yvette's. Hallelujah. Mine here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this wonderful family. Thank you for them. Love them. Love them. Love Josiah, wherever he is tonight. Oh, Father, draw us so close to the cross to live ready for that rapture. Separate us from the world. Let us get everything of the world out of our lives. Help these young people. I don't know how they're used to dressing, but help them get all that bad stuff out of the home. Burn it. Send it somewhere. Get rid of it. And so there's nothing there to entice them. Nothing but Jesus and holiness and the righteousness of God. You're going to use this family, Lord. I believe it with all my heart. All my heart. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Brother Lewis, Brother Johnson. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I love y'all. I love you. I love you. I love you. Out there. I believe it. I believe right now God's dealing with them. I believe God's laying his hand on their heart and they will be here momentarily. You just watch. Expect it any moment. Turn with me in your Bible to the book of St. John, chapter 14. I'm preaching tonight on a marvelous subject, the bridegroom. The bridegroom. Would you say that with me? The bride.